ready now for the second, another part of our session today, which is the award of the Pontecorvo Prize. And this will be given by our director, Academician Matveev.
Dear colleagues, now we have very special, very important event in the program of our session of Scientific Council. At its previous session, the Scientific Council approved the recommendations of the GINR International Jury on the award of the Bruno Pontecorvo Prize to a group of authors which include Professor Yifan Wan from Institute of High Energy Physics, Beijing, China. Professor Su Bong Kim from Seoul National University, South Korea. And Professor Koichiro Nishikawa from Keck, Tsukuba, Japan, for their outstanding contributions to the study of the neutrino oscillation phenomenon and to the measurement theta-1-3 mixing angle in Adiah Bay, Renault and T2K experiments. I would like to stress that it is a great honor for all of us to have these three outstanding scientists who are leaders of world well-known experimental collaborations bringing such a great results. So it is my pleasure to welcome the laureates to present them the diploma of Bruno Pontecorvo Prize. I would like the chairman of this jury, Alexander, to come to me. And so now we will. No, not a bivlej, да? Erika. А, по очереди. Now, diploma by the decision of the Scientific Council of the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, the 2016 Bruno Pontecorvo Prize is awarded to Professor Yifan Wan. Please come here.
Yifan
Wan.
Thank you.
My congratulations.
Thank you.
So
thank
very
you.
Pleased. So please have this and this special sign.
Thank you. Pink.
So let's make this historical picture. Open, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Diploma by decision of the Scientific Council of the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. The 2016 Bruno Pontecorvo Prize is awarded to Professor Koichiro Nishikawa. Please, I would like to ask you to come. Very proud to congratulate you. So, this diploma and this special sign of this prize. So, let's make some. Thank you. By diploma, by decision of the Scientific Council of the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, the 2016 Bruno Pontecorvo Prize is awarded to Professor Su Bong Kim. Please. Special sign. Let's make a historical picture. Thank you. So, and now maybe we will make general picture is all candidates. Laureates. И с тобой. Александр, please come here. Maybe put you all together, so. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, we're very proud that it happened. Now it's you. So, thank you. Best wishes. Пожалуйста. Александр?
Now we will have presentations of the laureates. Congratulations from the council. And I understand that we start by a presentation by Professor Zhifeng Wang, if I'm not mistaken. So, Professor Wang, would you kindly give us your presentation? And congratulations once again.
Hello. Yes. So, thank you very much for the invitation, and also it's a great honor for me to be here and to be awarded the Pondokolo Prize. Actually, I personally met him in early 90s, only once, and was really before my career on neutrino physics. But still, I think he won all my respect by heart. I breathed actually his ear since very young because I was trained in Florence, only 80 kilometers from the hometown of Pondokolo. And actually, there were a lot of stories people were talking about Florence and in Pisa. One day, actually, in Rome, in the year of 2003, I accidentally encountered his tomb in the Rome Cimitero Acatalico. So that was really a fantastic moment that I realized that I had this very, I would say, very small chance I could even have this kind of event. And also, I had also honor during my visit to JRNR, I had a picture in front of his office. So really, it's a great honor for me to be awarded the Pondokolo Prize. Let me start to talk about the React neutrino experiment. We worked on a Diabe experiment for a new type of neutrino oscillation. In the year of 2003, we understood that we had a solar neutrino and the atmospheric neutrino oscillation confirmed by both the Super K and Snow experiment. And the question, actually, a year after, is immediately came, what is the size of CETA-1-3, whether it exists or not. There were actually theoretic prediction that it could go to zero. And there are a lot of models predict the value which are actually around 0.01, so 1% kind of amplitude of the oscillation. So at the reactors, you can measure the neutrino oscillation by looking at the observed number of neutrinos over expected. And if there is a deficit, that's a neutrino oscillation signal. And in the past, there were CAMLAND, which observed for the first time React neutrino oscillations. And we tried to see whether there is any kind of a deficit in a baseline of around 1.5 kilometers between the reactor and the detector. And you can see that from a past experiments, there are something like 3 to 6% kind of uncertainties. If you're trying to look at the 1% kind of deficit, you really have to have the precision of your experiment at the level of a sub-percent level. So that means you have to improve the precision of your experiment by roughly a factor of 10. So the scheme we implemented in a Diabe experiment is to have a relative measurement between the near and the far detectors. And also, we have multiple detector modules in each experimental site. By doing this, we are able to cancel both the correlated systematic errors and also uncorrelated systematic errors. And indeed, we have a redundancy at each experimental site, both for the central detector, the neutrino detector, and also for the cosmic widows. So by doing this, we managed to really reach the uncertainties much less than 1%. So the experiment was proposed in the year of 2003 and successfully launched in the year of 2007. And then afterwards, with 4 years of construction, we managed to start the data taking in the year of 2011. And this shows you the funding agencies. Actually, we had 8 funding agencies, each contribute to more than $1 million to the experiment, including the Department of Energy, DOE, of the United States. So we built 3 kilometers of tunnel with 3 experimental halls, 2 for near detector and 1 for fire detector. And then we have 1 experimental hall for the liquid scintillator production and 1 hall for the water production. So the total civil construction actually took us almost 4 years to finish all of this system, underground laboratory system. So this is the detector assembly. We have a stainless steel tank with a diameter of 5 meters and a height of also 5 meters. We put optical reflector at the bottom. Then we have a 4 meter acrylic tank, 3 meter acrylic tank, put the PMTs inside, and then we put top reflector, and then put the cover lids. And then that's the 1 detector module. And the detector modules is then afterwards put into the water pool. And this water pool is equipped with the phototubes and also optical reflectors. And after that, we fill the water and we put the cover, and that's the final detector. So for roughly 3 months of data taking, we managed to see the deficit of react neutrinos of in our detector. So the deficit is roughly 6%. And this 6% translate to the oscillation amplitude is sine squared 2 theta 1 3 equals to 0.09. This is almost a factor of 10 more than what we expected. I mean, we expect to see something like 0.01, but we actually see this kind of 0.09 amplitude of oscillation amplitude. So since 2011, we are running for almost 6 years. We managed to improve the precision of sine squared 2 theta 1 3 from 20% to 4%. We will continue to run this experiment until 2020, and hopefully the precision will reach something like 3%. Actually, with our result combined with T2K and NOVA, the CP phase is estimated to be minus 90 degrees. This is almost 2 to 3 sigma kind of establishment of a CP violation. So we are actually now working on the next generation react neutrino experiment called the Juno experiment, which is located 53 kilometers from the 2 reactor complex. One is Taishan, one is Yangjiang. And these 2 complexes will give you a total of 36 gigawatt thermal power. By doing this, we put our detector at the oscillation maximum of theta 1 2. You can see that we can actually have maximum sensitivity to the neutrino mass hierarchy. So this is our next detector, Juno detector, which has 20 kiloton total liquid scintillator mass. It's almost factor 20 larger than Camland, or factor 40 larger than Bolognino. And the physics we can do with such a detector and such a mass is neutrino mass hierarchy, the precision measurement of neutrino mixing parameters down to a level of a sub-percent level. You can do supernova searches, neutrino studies, geoneutrinos, solar neutrinos, and so on. But such a detector actually is technologically very challenging. You need to build a 35-meter diameter acrylic tank, which is a 13-story building. And we need to build something like a 20-kiloton liquid scintillator with transparency of better than 25 meters. And also, we need to have a 20,000 20-inch phototubes. So this central detector acrylic tank will be made of acrylic, and we decided to build acrylic sheets with 9 meter by 3 meter with 12 centimeter of the thickness. The background, radioactive background, has to be less than 1 ppt. They have to thermal shape to a sphere form and a bond with a very high precision. And we also have a supporting nodes to hold the whole structure by this stainless steel structure. So it has been completed the design and also bidding process. The contract are mostly signed, except this steel structure, which will be signed, say, in 1 week from now. Of course, we have to worry about temperature changes because the steel and the acrylic has different thermal expansion coefficient. And also we have to worry about the earthquake, assembly installation, and many other issues. For the liquid scintillator, in the past, the best achieved attenuation length was 15 meters, but now we would like to improve by another factor of 30 meters. We had to worry about the radio purity and also engineering issues of 20 kiloton liquid transportation, particularly in the middle of nowhere. So this is also a big issue. And we are now working on the improvement of transparency, try to optimize light yield, and also try to work on the radio purity. This is a test setup in Diab Bay using one of the Diab Bay detecting modules of 20 tons. And by doing this, we actually have tested almost everything except the radio purity, which still need to be improved by, say, about a factor of 10. For the phototubes, for such a large detector with 20,000 phototubes, large area, high quantum efficiency, and the low-cost PMTs is a must. And when we designed this experiment, the only available phototubes are from Hamamatsu for Super K, which has a quantum efficiency multiplied the collection efficiency equals to something like 15%. This is almost factor 2 in short for our experiment. So we started an R&D effort in China since 2009 to develop, instead of dyno kind of PMTs, we developed this microchannel plate-based PMTs with the goal to have a quantum efficiency, close to 35%. After 6 years of development, we now managed to have this new type of PMTs made by this Chinese company called NMVT, which actually can give you quantum efficiency multiply the collection efficiency better than, say, 27%. So we signed the contract with them for 3/4 of the total number of PMTs needed, and Hamamatsu is 1/4. So you can see that we have now already obtained in hand something like 2,000 PMTs, and the average quantum efficiency multiply collection efficiency multiply effective area is 29%, so better than what we hoped for. So Juno is a very large international collaboration. We have three Russian groups here, INR Moscow, GNR, and Moscow State University. Juno is a large international collaboration with the 550 collaborators from 71 institutions in 17 countries. So GNR was actually a founding member of the Diab Bay experiment, made a lot of contributions, in particular the liquid scintillator development, cosmic ray veto detectors, software and data analysis, as well as a number of very important papers authored by physicists in GNR. GNR is also a founding member of Juno experiment and committed to cosmic ray veto detectors, PMT testing, intelligent PM, high voltage power supply, electronics, software, and physics preparation. So this Pontecorvo Prize actually is a great honor not only to me, but also to the GNR team and also the whole Diab Bay collaboration. So reactor is a very powerful man-made neutrino source for free. If at the appropriate, say, distance, it is more powerful than solar, atmospheric, and accelerated neutrinos. We had a great achievement in the past for the discovery of neutrinos, for the CETA-1-2 measurement by the Camland experiment, and the CETA-1-3 measurement by Diab Bay and the Reno experiment, and we are going to have a great future for the mass hierarchy determination, and also for the precise measurement of all the mixing parameters for the testing of the unitarity of the mixing matrix. So this is size of the rhinos detector, size of man, and this is Camlan, and now we are moving to Juno, which is size comparing to a size of a man. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor Wang. Questions? Do we have any questions? Can't see any. Well, thank you once again for this very fine presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next laureate's presentation is by Professor Subong Kim. And I ask Professor Subong Kim to the podium, asking him to give his presentation. And congratulations from the whole council.
This is Subong Kim from South Korea. I'd like to thank to jury and the JINR. Okay, this is my great honor to get this prize. I would like to mention about a few things with much pleasure. The first of all, the Bruno Kontepf was the inventor of the neutrino oscillation. He also proposed how to measure the neutrinos before its discovery. And actually, this method was used for the solar neutrino detection. As you know, the neutrinos are three kinds of the elementary particles. And in 1998, the quantum transformation among these neutrinos was discovered. Okay. Two of three mixing angles was measured by atmospheric neutrinos and the solar neutrinos. And about 14 years later, the smallest mixing angle, theta 13, was measured from the reactor neutrinos and by the T2K experiment. The observation of this neutrino oscillation demonstrates the existence of a neutrino mass. And having observed all three neutrinos, it establishes complete picture of the three flavor neutrino oscillation. Okay, the definitive measurement of the smallest mixing angle of theta 13, which is rather large than we thought, opens a new window for determining CP violating phase and the neutrino mass ordering without a neutrino factory. So therefore, right now we plan to build Hyper-Kamiokande. This is a Korean neutrino observatory. This is the second Hyper-Kamiokande detector in Korea. While Dune experiment at Fermi Lab, and Juno experiment in China, and Pingu, and you know, and so forth. There are three ongoing reactor neutrino oscillation experiments. The Reno in South Korea, and Dive experiment in China, and a double show experiment in France. Now, the measurement of the theta 13 was possible due to successful loading the gadolinium into a liquid scintillator and maintaining the attenuation length for a long time of the data taking. The Reno collaboration consists of 40 physicists from Korea. Well, actually, we like to have international collaborators, but when we started construction, most of interested physicists already joined either WSHO and or Taipei. There are four nuclear power plants in Korea. The the Yongbang nuclear power plant is located south west coast of the Korean peninsula. And the the Yongan nuclear power plant consists of six reactors, which are well aligned to line. About $10 million U.S. dollars was spent to construct two tunnels and the two identical detectors. The Reno was the first experiment to take data with both near and far detectors from August 2011. The Neo detector is located 300 meters from the center of the reactor arrays, and the far detector is located 1.4 kilometers. The tunnel was constructed by Daewoo Engineering Company in Korea. Actually, it took 1 year to persuade our nuclear power plant company to allow us to use their facility. And the detector structure was made by the NIBA company in Korea. The two identical, the target of the vessel, which is an acrylic vessel, were constructed by Coatec company in Korea. Okay, year 2010, in the summer, we started to install photomultiplier tubes from the bottom. This was the first PMT, and then we installed barrel and the top. So this shows the completed one of the Reno detector before we closed the top of the tank. Then we started to produce the liquid scintillator loaded with gadolinium. And then we could start data taking from August 2011. Okay, so as of now, we have collected about 2 million neutrino events. So based on the $10 million, so each neutrino event costs $5. So the current Reno result shows here, and this shows the energy-dependent disappearance of the reactor anti-neutrinos. This the blue dotted line is expected without oscillation, so without no oscillation. And what we have measured in the far detector is shown by black dots. So as you can see, the clear disappearance of the reactor neutrinos as a function of energy. So this shows the disappearance probability of reactor neutrinos. And this gives the measured value of theta 1-3 and the mass scale difference. Okay, actually this measurement was not successful without a sincere efforts of all the Reno collaborators. So therefore, they should deserve for this prize. Also, I'd like to thank to the Ministry of Science and ICT, and also the National Research Foundation of Korea for their financial support. I also like to thank to the Korea Hydro and the Nuclear Power Company for their kind cooperation for this experiment. My appreciation also goes to the Korean Institute of Science and Technology Information, and Daewoo Engineering Company, NIBA Company, Coatec Company. Okay, thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Professor Kim. And again, questions. Do we have any questions from the council? No questions. Thank you once again. Thank you very much. Now we have a presentation of a third laureate, Professor Nishihara. And we'd like Professor Koshiro Nishihara to give his presentation.
This is I have retired for a couple of years ago, so this is a talk given. I haven't given a talk for almost 2 years. This is I hope I can do it. Yeah. And this is a rather strange title for this kind of talk. It's a lucky experience I had during my research on a neutrino experiment. And lucky means including lucky to have a good collaborators and directorate, and also we had the luck in asking a good right question to the nature to get a positive result. And let me start with the thanks for the INR for recognizing T2K contribution to the neutrino physics. I'm very honored to receive Bruno Pontecorvo Prize. And I recently learned that Dr. Pontecorvo, as Professor Subban Kim mentioned, that he invented, noticed the possibility of using a chlorine atom to detect a solar neutrino much before the Homestake started. And also, he also mentioned the high-intensity accelerator neutrino experiment. And since I have been working on this field and having a good time, it is very honored to receive the Bruno Pontecorvo Prize. And the experiment have never been realized without effort of many people, obviously. And the T2K and the K2K, with the K2K is the sort of a testing ground for the new experiment to build from a high-intensity accelerator to build a high-intensity neutrino beamline. And this is just a good experience from K2K was a necessary stage for us. After all, this is the first neutrino beamline in Japan, and we need lots of experience of building those hardwares. And also accelerator colleagues of JPARC who build a new accelerator, high-intensity accelerator, and operate flawlessly for continuous time. And also I want to mention the pioneering Japanese high-energy physicist who built the proton accelerator about 1979 after the World War II. This accelerator, having those accelerator, it was only possible to build a K2K. And also, I want to mention the good directorate. We had the luck in having a good directorate, and late Professor Yoji Totsuka, who made every possible effort to advance both K2K and T2K from the very beginning as a spokesperson for Super Kamiokande, and later as a Director General of KEK. And also Professors Hirotaka Sugawara, former Director General of KEK, who made a long baseline experimental reality in Japan by his really strong leadership and firm decision to build an experiment. But last but not least, I would like to thank my wife for her continuous support and patience. And this is a T2K collaboration from 9 countries and almost now 500 people in the experiment. This is only a part of the collaborator, and 9 nations' flag is shown here. And the late Totsuka, he was really starting a Super Kamiokande and push every phase of the neutrino experiment in Japan to reality. Okay. So before T2K, many experiments contributed to show various aspects of the neutrino oscillation starting 1960s. And first one was the deficiency of observation of solar neutrino, and Hornsteak and many radiochemical experiments show the deficiency depending on the energy of the neutrino. And the flavor change in solar neutrino was shown by Snow, and the oscillation pattern in reactor neutrino with order over 200 kilometer baseline was shown by Camerland. So this is the showing the electron neutrino flavor changes between initial and final state with the expected quantum mechanical superposition and interference of these two quantum states. And also atmospheric neutrino, muon neutrino disappearance was shown by the Kamiokande and the super Kamiokande, and oscillation with Earth scale baseline exist was shown. And the oscillation pattern in GB muon neutrino beam was shown by K2K and Minos with a wide range measurement of the disappearance of E over L. And all these show that there is two kinds of oscillation exist, one associated with the electron neutrino with delta M square over solar neutrino mass scale, and muon neutrino with atmospheric neutrino mass scale. And this, a priori, these two oscillations is independent, and it's obvious to check, ask the electron neutrino also involved in the atmospheric neutrino delta M scale region. And this is a natural question to ask. And K2K experiment is aiming for the sending a sub-GeV muon neutrino and anti-muon neutrino beam generated at the JPAC, which is with a baseline with 295 kilometer to the super Kamiokande detector with a long baseline experiment. And the main mode of measurement is muon neutrino disappearance to improving the mixing angle over theta to 3, and muon neutrino electron neutrino oscillation, both initial and final state flavor is identified, and also anti-neutrino. And if the electron neutrino also involved in the atmospheric neutrino delta M square region, obviously in this muon neutrino electron neutrino oscillation, there is two process coexist, and this will be a necessary condition to be a CP violation to realize. And this is a good possibility to observe CP violation. That our hoped when we starting at T2K. As previous two speakers mentioned, the electron neutrino disappearance also with the atmospheric neutrino delta M square region was shown, and T2K muon neutrino electron neutrino oscillation with atmospheric neutrino delta M square region was shown, and also OPERA muon neutrino tau neutrino oscillation was detected. So can the next question would be, can the three generation scheme describe all mode of observed neutrino oscillation? And the three generation scheme is written here. This is a famous formula. And in this scheme, three mixing angle and the CP delta and the two independent mass delta M square involved. That describe if the three generation scheme is right, or the neutrino oscillation should be described by those parameters. And one complication in the electron neutrino appearance is mass hierarchy. That means we, based on the muon neutrino disappearance, measure the 2 theta to 3, and we have to deduce the 2 muon electron oscillation to infer the what octant we are sitting in. And this is one ambiguity. And another ambiguity is the mass hierarchy. This is M3 and 1-2, which is higher, larger. And with this ambiguity, those muon neutrino disappearance in atmospheric neutrino and reactor electron neutrino disappearance and the muon neutrino electron neutrino oscillation all can be described those those parameters. And the situation at this moment, I should mention also, if the this quadrant is second half, which is more than 45 degree, this prediction will increase. Also, delta Cp is less than zero, that this transition increase. And mass hierarchy is normal hierarchy, this also increase. So if we are in lucky situation, we can identify Cp violation does exist in this scheme. And at this moment, this is the newest data given at the KEK colloquium by Mark Hertz. This is a histogram is the, based on the second octant solution for theta to 3, and delta Cp supposed to be zero, assumed to be zero, and a normal hierarchy assumption. And this is sort of a maximum expectation for the without Cp violation, and this data is observation. So at this stage, with the present statistics, looks like if we are lucky, we can identify Cp violation term exist in neutrino oscillation. But it's limited statistics, as you know, as you see, and I expect the younger colleague at the T2K experiment continue improving its result and making a big step forward in the near future, including the hyper-Kamiokande proposal, and by increasing a repetition rate of a proton accelerator, increasing intensity with higher statistics, definite conclusion may be able to be reached. So I leave it for young colleagues to continue on this path to identify possible Cp violation in neutrino oscillation. I'd rather rest of the time I spend more general time. After all, the one of the important mission of high energy physics is getting a new insight of nature, and at this moment, looks to me, the fundamental question still remain, and this is the origin of a mass of quark and lepton, a huge many order magnitude difference of mass, and relationship of flavor and mass. Looks like quark has a sort of perturbation. For neutrino, on the other hand, has a large mixing. It's almost 45 degrees around the mixing. And those must be come from some physics deep inside. And also another big question is the origin of matter-dominated universe related to civilization in lepton is also questionable. And the oscillation, CP violation, Newton oscillation due to CP delta, is that the only source of CP violation or not, should be investigated. And those all is a difficult question to answer by experiment, but sometimes I want to say that theoretical prejudice and the analogy from non-physics sometimes mislead and to a pessimistic direction. And one example I encountered during my research was the long baseline, short baseline argument. And long before the even Kobe was giving a result, all we know was a flat universe. And if the dark matter is due to neutrino, which is very economical assumption, since the Big Bang neutrino is order about 10 to the 9th more abundant than the nucleon, so that a few electron volt neutrino mass can explain the missing mass of the universe. This motivated a short baseline experiment with a small mixing angle, obviously to avoid the two neutrino existence, to assure that muon neutrino and electron neutrino are the different neutrino when it's produced. And those things predicted a very small mixing angle, and also from analogy from a quark mixing angle. So it's very pessimistic to finding out a second neutrino oscillation in addition to solar neutrino. And obviously, as you know, the cosmic microwave background measurement by many satellites described the nature of dark matter was different from neutrino assumption. But rather pessimistic view of finding out a neutron oscillation in other than solar neutrino was shattered by the unexpected daytime scale region observed by Kamio Kande in atmospheric neutrino. And this was totally unexpected, and nobody expected to finding a neutrino oscillation in baseline corresponding to Earth's size of experiment. So exciting fundamental question remain to be investigated, and including mass and flavor questions, and expect phenomena open new road in the past, and a new approach to the problem with a quantitative study with light conditions. And this was the light condition happened to be in our case is Professor Koshiba said build a Kamio Kande original motivation with the original motivation of as you know, proton decay, and finding out an unexpected phenomena of the atmospheric Newton disappearance, and also with a fresh brain, a new approach, and at the right time to see new things, and if the nature is friendly. And I use the title lucky, but if we ask a right question to the nature, luckily enough, nature is very friendly. That's all I want to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And again, I ask for questions. Are there any questions from the audience? No questions. Thank you very much once again, and congratulations. There will be a presentation by Professor Matiev of diplomas to the winners of the JNR. Please make sure that all the laureates of these diplomas stay for a photograph. So do not leave the hall, because a final photograph will be taken after all diplomas have been awarded.
Я знаю, тут написано все.
Будет включать эти вторые.
Let us start presentation of diplomas to the winner of JNR annual prizes for the best papers in the field of scientific research, instruments and methods and applied research. JNR prizes for 2016 in the field of theoretical physics. The first prize for the paper cluster approaches for describing nuclear fission. We invite Rostislav Vladimirovich Jolosa. Авазбеку Каримовичу Насирову. Хория Паска. The second prize for the paper in the field of conformal anomaly, quantum entanglement, boundaries and distributional geometry, Dmitry Vladimirovich Fursaev.
Он не будет, она за него скажет, он просил.
Передать.
Да. Вы скажете? Скажите что-то.
Спасибо. Я помощник Дмитрия Владимировича Фурсаева. Передаю от него глубокую благодарность за столь высокую оценку его деятельности. Спасибо.
For the paper, is it possible to discover a dark matter particles with an accelerator? Вадиму и Александровичу Беднякову.
Эксперимент две первые.
Сейчас у меня все написано.
Спасибо. In the field of experimental research, first prize for the paper magnetic phenomena in intermetallic compounds, RaCO2 studies of the limits of the itinerate electron metamagnetic concept. Денису Петровичу Козленко. Евгению Валерьевичу Лукину. Сергею Евгеньевичу Кичанову. First prize also awarded for the series of papers, investigation of the spontaneous fission properties of short-lived isotopes of transfermium elements. Александру Игоревичу Свирихину. Александру Владимировичу Ерёмину. Андрею Георгиевичу Попека. Олегу Николаевичу Малышеву. Виктору Ивановичу Чепигину. Андрею Владимировичу Исаеву. Евгению Александровичу Соколу. Юрию Анатольевичу Попову. Second prize also awarded the series of paper investigations of hadrogen-like atoms in the Dirac experiment. Леониду Георгиевичу Афанасьеву. Константину Ивановичу Грицаю. Михаилу Вячеславовичу Жабицкому. Анатолию Владимировичу Куликову. For the work, investigations of hadrogen-like atoms in the Dirac experiment, Richard Lednitsky. Михаилу Владимировичу Никитину. Дальше.
Все, да? Вы все прочли?
Да, construction.
Вот методика.
А вот это? Никогда. Construction.
Это методика? Вот здесь идет первая премия, а вот потом Ника, вторая премия. Вот сначала идет.
For the physics instruments and methods, first prize is awarded for the paper Investigation of Exotic Radioactive Decays Using Vertex Method, Project Expert, Андрею Анатольевичу Безбаху. Александру Владимировичу Горшкову. Леониду Валентиновичу Григоренко. Зеркас Каминский. Сергею Анатольевичу Крупко. Роману Станиславовичу Слепневу. Андрею Сергеевичу Фомичеву. The second prize is awarded for the paper, for the series of papers construction and commissioning of the heavy iron accelerator of the NICA injection complex Андрею Валерьевичу Бутенко. Денису Евгеньевичу Донцу. Валерию Васильевичу Кобицу. Константину Александровичу Лафтерову. Анатолию Олеговичу Сидорину. In the field of applied physics research, first prize is awarded to the series of paper reduction of radiation damage in biological objects by means of laser radiation. Геннадию Валентиновичу Мицину. Виктору Николаевичу Гаевскому. The second prize for the paper Neutron Activation Analysis for Ecological States Assessment of Coastal Ecosystems of the Black Sea Марине Владимировне Франтасевой. Инга Зиконвстахская. Александру Николаевичу Камневу. Encouraging prizes are awarded to the series of paper physics research of the GNR group in the Atlas experiment at the Large Hadron Collider. Вадиму Александровичу Беднякову. Ивану Владимировичу Елецкому. Second, encouraging prize to the series of paper, peculiarity of nuclear reaction mechanism by weakly bound light nuclei. Сергею Михайловичу Лукьянову. Юрию Геннадьевичу Соболеву. Андрею Сергеевичу Деникину. Владимиру Анатольевичу Маслову. Михаилу Алексеевичу Науменко. Вячеславу Владимировичу Самарину. Николаю Константиновичу Скобелеву. So direction, investigation of the deeply subcritical target assembly quinta consisting of 512 kilogram natural uranium irradiated by deuterons at the energy range from 1 to 8 GV at the GNR nucleotron. Вальтеру Ильичу Фурману. Антону Александровичу Балдину. Анатолию Ивановичу Берлеву. Сергею Ивановичу Тютюнникову. Валерию Викторовичу Чилапу. Now laureates are invited for a group photo at the this place. All the laureates are invited for the group photo.
Dear friends, we invited you to another hall for fourchette, devoted to our
But make sure to return after the fourchette. We don't know exactly the time. Okay, so we reconvene at 1 p.m. For the discussion of the draft of the resolution. Okay, so please be here. Back here by 1 p.m. Thank you.